Let's go ahead and take our Bible and turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I think it's apparent from what we've been seeing as well as reading in the Word of God that we are living in the last days. And what we can expect is that as we live in the last days, we should expect perilous times. And when we look at this passage, we see that he's not just referring to physical acts of persecution against the people of God, but he's also referring to persistent attacks on God's truth, his word, as well as upon God's foundation, as Paul called it in 2 Timothy 2, referring to his church. And we're told these things. The Apostle Paul lets us in on these things, not to scare us, but to prepare us. It's going to happen. It is happening. Even as we speak, it is happening. And we need to be prepared to deal with it according to the truth. Perilous times require, from God's perspective, it requires believers who are prepared. And one of the pervading characteristics of these times is that we have seen is that men in verse 2 shall be lovers of their own selves. Specifically, as verse 4 says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So the last days are marked by this self-love, but they're also marked by false religions. Look at verse 5. These are religions that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. He says, from such, turn away. So we have these people, these organizations that have the appearance of being holy, of being pious, of being godly, but they have no spiritual power. They're like a facade. They're a fake front. They deny the source of true spiritual power. They have this outward external piety, with no internal spiritual transformation. And what does it take to expose this facade? Well, it takes the light of God's truth, the light of God's truth bearing upon it, the piercing, dividing, discerning brilliance of God's word reveals either the presence of or the absence of truth. And that's what we have to shine upon every doctrine of man, every opinion of man must be tested according to the Word of God. So, not only do perilous times demand preparation, but this deception that is part of the last times requires spiritual discernment on the part of God's people. False religions produce false teachers. Now, that's how they're perpetuated. They have these false teachers that perpetuate these false religions. And these are people who are not content with just having a few disciples to follow them for their deception. They have a strategy of trying to propagate their false doctrines around the world. And what they want to do, not only that, is to infiltrate other religions to try to inject their heresies and to persuade them to embrace and to actually incorporate and conform to their false teachers, teachings. They do this either by propaganda or they'll do it by force in some cases. They're kind of like termites. I don't know if you've ever seen a termite come into your house. Typically, you don't see them coming, right? You don't know they're there until what? Why is that pile of sawdust on my floor, right? Why are the stairs all of a sudden creaking as I'm walking on them, right? It's not until you find the damage that you realize that they're there. That's kind of how false teachers are. And Islam is a perfect example, right? Islam is a perfect example of vigilance in promoting a false religion. Although they try to paint a very different picture, do you know that the ultimate goal of Islam is world dominance? It's to take over the world and to make everybody subject to Islam. And they're content to do it very slowly. They're content to do it stealthily, deceptively. They will lie and they will infiltrate into nations, governments, churches to try to do this. Look at their strategy in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 3. It says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And Paul just uses the example here of some undiscerning, morally challenged women. But if we're honest, men can be just as susceptible to deception. And these false teachers prey upon the weak. And both men and women can be weak, right, when it comes to their spirituality. And by the way, weakness is something that can be helped, right? Weakness, spiritually, spiritual immaturity is self-inflicted, right? It's something that happens to us because we have chosen not to walk in the Spirit, but rather to walk according to the flesh. When we do that, we become spiritually weak. And so that's what Paul is saying, is that these false teachers look for the weak people, whether they're unsaved or whether they're saved, to try to deceive them. And they creep in under false pretenses. They gain the confidence of people. And they target those that are very unstable, as well as being very vulnerable. And folks, every assembly has its percentage of people just like that. Even in an assembly like ours, you know, there are people like that. And you know what's difficult from a pastoral point of view is that people like that are hard to protect. They're hard to protect from these predators. Paul says that they're ever searching. That is, they're ever searching for ideas that would promote their worldview. But of course, they never come to the truth because they've walked away from the truth. And so they'll never come to the truth because the truth is actually offensive to their thinking. You know, when we get something in our mind that's contrary to the truth of the Word of God, our flesh begins to fight. And if we confront those things with the truth, it affects our spirit. It affects our flesh, and our flesh will fight against that. And if you really want to continue in that particular sin, then you won't ever come to the truth. And Christians are even affected by this. Christians are affected by this when they choose not to, because they choose not to follow after the Spirit because they want to fulfill some aspect of the flesh. The flesh is still very appealing, even to believers. And we need to be discerning. We need to be yielded to God's Spirit, and that we might be able to overcome the effects of false teaching. So now look at verse 8 at the model of these false teachers. Verse 8, it says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Who are Jannes and Jambres? Anybody have an idea? Huh?
In Egypt.
Okay. And how did you come up with that?
I don't have 100% positive on the name, but I know that Moses would do through God.
Right.
Do things, and then Pharaoh would say, "Well, our guys can match that."
Right. Right.
It's a cheap attempt.
Right. But do you know, this is the only place in the Bible these names are mentioned. So, the fact of the matter is, we don't know who Jannes and Jambres are. But we know something about them, right? We know that they withstood Moses. So we have an idea of when they were around. Right? They would have been around that time of Moses. Now, another thing that we know, Jannes and Jambres are not Hebrew names, right? So they're not Jews. They're not Persian names. Guess what kind of names? Does Ramses sound familiar? They're what kind of names? They're Egyptian. All right. So we know that that there were those that opposed Moses in Egypt. And although there isn't a specific account that names these two men, right, in what Dan was talking about when Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh and they had rods and they were trying to show their power and so there were those that opposed Moses and their magicians could do some of the very things that Moses and Aaron were doing, right? And so some speculate that Jannes and Jambres were actually two of the magicians, because we're not even told how many magicians there were with Moses, right? We just have this idea there's this group of magicians that were able to do the same thing. But they opposed Moses, and they stood against what Moses stood for, right? So they would have been against the God of Moses. Moses stood for God, so they really represented the world, didn't they? The world has power. There is a fake power, and that's the whole idea. Jannes and Jambres, right, they had this form of godliness, but they denied the power of thereof. Their authority didn't come from the God of heaven. Their authority came from the God of this world. All right? And so these were men that resisted the truth. All right? So if they were magicians, or if there was some account that we don't have recorded in the Word of God, Jannes and Jambres, we just know that they were opposed to the things of God, and they resisted the truth. So they would be the enemies of God. And by the way, the word resist here and the word withstood in this verse, they're the same word. They're just translated differently in the same verse. But it's the same idea. It's the idea of standing against. They stood against God's man, and they stood against God's truth. All right? So, and why did they do that? Because verse 8, these were men of corrupt minds. And it's interesting to me that it's a little technical, but the participle that translates the words of corrupt, it's a passive participle. And what that means is that they were corrupted, right? Their minds weren't corrupt, but something corrupted their minds, all right? So they became corrupted by something. And what was that something? The acceptance of false teaching. The acceptance of false teaching. And folks, whenever anybody accepts false teaching without ever exposing it to the light of the Word of God, is in danger of having their minds corrupted by that. And these things need to be exposed to the light of truth. And if it's not done, you know, this will affect your conscience. And I'm talking about even Christians. Now, praise the Lord, as a believer, we have a conscience, of course. We were born with a conscience. But as believers, the Spirit of God assists our conscience. He doesn't become our conscience, right? The Spirit of God urges our conscience to go in a particular way. But even as believers, we can allow our consciences to be seared. We can allow our consciences to be affected by false teaching just like this. And so, so we have to be very careful even as believers. But people that aren't saved, that don't look upon the Word of God as the light that they need, their consciences are seared, right? They're seared and they are affected, by this false teaching. And the fact is, folks, is that the more a person rehearses these teachings without comparing them to the biblical light and discernment, the deeper that they become burned upon a person's conscience, to where it becomes very difficult to discern what is right. Your conscience is so affected by this false teaching that you can't think past it even when the truth is shined upon it. And that's a very difficult position to be in. And, of course, for many people who have this form of godliness, they are actually, as the end of verse 8 says, they are reprobate concerning the faith. What does reprobate mean? We hear that all the time. What does it mean to be a reprobate? Any idea? Say, this isn't Sunday school. You don't get to ask questions. Just
but also corrupt.
Reprobate is the idea of not being I just lost the word. Reprobate is not being acceptable, is what the word means. And in the context, to be a reprobate in the religious realm is not being accepted into God's family. All right, it's someone that has not, that has a facade, right, that might even claim to be a Christian, but has not gone through the biblical process of being saved.
So we use the term reprobate to refer to someone who's, you know, breaking the law.
Right, or not teachable.
Someone's like antisocial.
Right, somebody that just, they would say a reprobate would be somebody that just won't conform, right? And he talks about that with these silly women, right? Laden with sins, led away, ever learning and never able to come to the truth, right? That would be a reprobate condition. Yes, ma'am.
What's reproach?
Reproach?
Yeah, you're a reproach against God.
A reproach is being an offense. A reproach is an offense.
Right, okay.
Right, so... but a reprobate, and we see it in Romans chapter 2. It talks about God turning him over to a reprobate mind. And what it's talking about is that these people accept these wicked truths and have no intent on changing. All right. And they remain in that condition. And these are unsaved people. These are unsaved people. All right. And so what this means is that they're reprobate. They're not in the faith. They're not in Jesus Christ. And now listen, I truly don't believe that any Christian can be reprobate. If you're truly saved, then you cannot become a biblical reprobate. Once you're in the faith, you are always in the faith. Once you are in Christ, you are always in Christ. And now let me ask you this, can a Christian act like they're reprobate?
Yes.
Absolutely, they can. Christians can do that. While we as Christians are in this flesh, we're not immune to the effects of false teaching. If we're not discerning, if we allow false teaching to have an effect upon our consciences, then we may never be reprobate, but we can live in a state of disobedience. Christians live in a state of disobedience. We can do that until we get right or until God takes us home. Christians can die in that condition. And then in that condition, Christians will do more to assist the kingdom of the world than they actually will the kingdom of God. So Paul's encouragement is for us to be prepared, to be discerning, and to persevere through these perilous times of the last days. Listen, the false teachers are going to be persistent. They are supernaturally empowered. They are going to continue to attack the church and God's truth right till the day the Lord comes. They will have an appearance of power. They will have this appearance of authority. But Paul wants to encourage us. You know, you read all of that. You read about the last days. And if you really just focus on the negative, it can become pretty oppressive. But in verse 9, he gives Timothy this word of encouragement. He said, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs, referring back to Jannes and Jambres, as theirs also was. So who's the they of verse 9? I just told you. The false teachers who are like Jannes and Jambres, right? So the false teachers who are just like Jannes and Jambres, they are who Paul's talking about. And what Paul is revealing here, folks, and it's wonderful, is that evil has a limit. Evil has a limit. There is a divine boundary line that God places on deception. This doesn't mean that false teaching won't spread for a time. But they can't ultimately overthrow the truth of God's word. They can't. False teaching will never overthrow God's truth. Heresies cannot stop the process of the gospel. The gospel is more powerful than any heresy. They cannot exceed the limits that God places upon them. See, that's the great thing to remember. God is sovereign over everything. Right? The only reason that heresies and false teachings are around is because God allows it. He has a purpose for all of those things. It's not like God goes, oh, there's another false teaching. What am I going to do? You know, God knows exactly what he's doing. And he has a purpose for all of those things in the lives of everybody. And we can't even comprehend how that's going to look on Judgment Day. You know, Judgment Day for the Christians and then the Great White Throne Judgment. We don't know how all of these things are going to work together to give credence to God's plan of salvation. So these evil teachers can't exceed the limits of what God places upon them. It's kind of like the ocean, right? The ocean is very, very powerful. Has very powerful waves, and those waves rush forward with great force, but it always stops at the line that God places it, right? That's what God does. False teaching feels sometimes overwhelming. If you focus on the false teaching, it can be very overwhelming. But folks, God has a leash on it, right? God has control of it. And like Satan, who was only allowed to afflict Job as God allowed, deception is powerful, but deception itself is not all sovereign. Deception doesn't just get to do what it wants to. God is in control of that. So what is he saying? Timothy, don't panic. Right? There's a lot of bad stuff going on, but I'm in control, God says. Don't panic when error seems to spread. Rather, stay faithful. Don't be fearful. Stay faithful. Remember, God sets the boundaries, not the world. And know this also, verse 9. Their folly, the folly of these false teachers, shall be manifest. This word folly has the idea of moral stupidity. Moral stupidity revealed over time. All right? And I think that we see this in some of the communist or socialist people that are getting into office, especially down in New York City, right? They had this idea that everything was going to be great. We're going to have free busing. We're going to have free this. We're going to have free that. And now they're finding in just a very short time, right, that is folly, that the whole idea is folly. It's not working out the way that they want. That's the idea of this word. And that's how false teachers are. False teachers come in and they come in with great glorious lights and sparkly things and makes everything look beautiful. But over a period of time, because it's not truth, it's manifested to be false. And that will happen. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Timothy, just know this. It's going to come, but it's going to be made manifest. The folly of it's going to be made manifest. Oftentimes they contradict themselves, don't they? They contradict themselves. They experience some moral collapse or corruption. There are even Christian groups that have fallen into this kind of corruption. And they usually leave behind some spiritual baggage, some spiritual wreckage. And, you know, to the untrained eye, counterfeit money looks a lot like real money. Right, I don't think I could tell the difference. I mean, there are people that are professionals that can make money that looks real. And if I was selling something and they gave me counterfeit money, I probably wouldn't even blink, you know, at taking it. But under careful inspection, people who are trained, people who understand what they're looking for, under careful inspection of bright lights and maybe magnifying glasses, the flaws are clearly exposed. And folks, we need to be those people that use the light of God's word to carefully inspect things that are counterfeit. Because we can even be deceived also. Right? If we're not discerning, we can be deceived. And the more truth shines, the more counterfeits are exposed. And if Jannes and Jambres were actual magicians in Pharaoh's court, they certainly had the appearance of being powerful, right? I mean, if you were there and you saw Aaron do what he did, like put his staff over the water and it turned to blood, and then you saw them do it, wouldn't you think, well, they have equal power? They're pretty powerful. I would think that they were powerful. So they had this appearance of being powerful. They were able to mimic several of Moses' miracles. But you know what they couldn't produce? They couldn't produce deliverance for God's people. There was only one way of salvation. Moses was that way of salvation. And that was the only way they could be delivered. So Paul points back to those two in the last phrase of verse 9, where he says, as theirs was also. Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, but ultimately they were overcome, right? They lost. They lost the competition, if you will. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 12 tells us, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. That would have been cool to see, right? All these haughty magicians throw their rods down and have these vicious snakes come up, and then Aaron throws his down and it eats them all up. And what a great example of God. And so, yes, we are living in the last days. We are. But they aren't taking God by surprise. And they shouldn't take us by surprise. God is not ignorant of those perilous times. He's not unaware of the tactics of the false teachers. And he is sovereign over all these things. False teachers are going to try to infiltrate everywhere. There's no doubt in my mind that there would be a plan for them to try to infiltrate churches like ours. And that's why we strive to be diligent and vigilant to keep that out of our church for the protection of God's people. But they're going to try. Why? Because they want to destroy the testimony of God's church. They want to try to ruin the testimony of God's church. But Paul reminds us that God has set boundaries, that God has put a limit to their deception. Their foolishness will eventually be exposed, and truth will ultimately prevail. So what's his encouragement here? Christian, don't be dismayed. Don't be fearful of the times. Don't focus so much on the drama and the drastic things that are going on. Don't be dismayed. Be faithful. Be faithful to the truth of the Word of God. We don't need to be political or social activists. We need to be spiritual activists. And what I mean by that is that when the world is in all this different kinds of activism, we need to be promoting the light that shines the truth upon what's going on. You know, the Word of God is the only thing that gives context to everything that goes on in the world. We look at people say, they look at what's going on in the world, they say, I don't know what's going on. I do, because the Bible tells us what's going on, right? It tells us exactly what's going on. It tells us how we fit into it. No Christian ought to ever say, I don't know what my purpose is. The Word of God tells you what your purpose is. The Word of God tells you that you have purpose. You are relevant right now. Somebody had said, well, what do you think the church needs to do to be relevant? Nothing. Nothing more than what it's supposed to do. We don't have to try to make ourselves relevant. We're already relevant because we represent the God of heaven, right? So it's not like we have to try to be relevant. By virtue of the fact that we hold true to the Word of God makes us relevant in this world. This is what the world needs, to be reconciled to God. So don't be dismayed. Perilous times demand anchored lives, right? We need to be anchored to the truth of the Word of God. Deception in the world requires discernment on our part. And victory comes to those who are faithful to God's truth. And it's all by His grace. But we can have the victory. There is always hope for us as believers, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, what a great encouragement Your Word is to us. I thank You, Lord, for revealing to us the last days, the characteristics of the last days, the characteristics of these false teachers and the things that they will go through to try to promote their wickedness. But Lord, we thank You just for the reminder that You are in control of all of these things. There is nothing that goes on that You do not allow. Lord, everything is orchestrated for a purpose, and one day it will be all explained. It will all come to fruition. And Lord, You will be glorified, and we will just be honored to be in Your presence. I do pray, Lord, in the meantime, that You would help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, not to be dismayed. Help us not to get down at the things that we see. Too many people are focusing upon the difficulties, and it brings distress to their heart. They need to look up. need to look to Jesus. They need to embrace this wonderful truth that we are in the last days. And this should be expected. These things should be expected. And we should be able to raise above them by your grace. I do pray, Father, that you would just continue to work in our night. Continue to bless those in discipleship, those that are in the children's ministry. And as we break up in a moment for prayer, pray that our praying would be profitable. Pray, Lord, that in your mercy that you would look favorably upon us as we pray, that we might see the hand of God move. Lord, that we can do nothing apart from you. And so we pray that in your mercy that you would visit our ministry with your power, that we might see your hand move in the area where you have put us, that we would see souls saved, that we would see Christians built up in the faith for your glory. We need you, Lord. We love you. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.